Crossville Church. Thank y'all for being here this morning. It is Labor Day weekend, and we appreciate you coming to church. Because it is Labor Day weekend, we will not have evening services tonight, so no small groups. So enjoy time with your family, enjoy the pretty weather, and just enjoy being together. Several other things we want to bring to your attention. Don't forget, for all this month, we'll be collecting alabaster offering to build schools and churches and other buildings around the world. And so I know many of you all have already brought your box and dumped it, but if you have not done that, please don't forget about that for this month. We will have a Trail Life meeting this week, the 4th. At 6:30 p.m. in the Family Life Center. So if you know any boys that would be interested, please make sure you invite them to come be part of that. We will be having a Sunday school meeting Wednesday evening at 5 p.m. before church. So Sunday school board members, you know who you are. Please make sure that you plan to be at that meeting. And as I mentioned last week, we'll be starting MOPS up again. So that will start this week on the 7th. And then we'll keep the same schedule we had before. We'll be off the week after that and then back on the 21st. So continuing to do the two sessions, 9:30 to 11 for the morning session and 6 to 7:30. So if you are willing to help in any capacity, please see Sue Allen, and she'll be glad to hook you up and tell you how she needs you. But we're excited to be starting that again. Grief Share will be going on for the next couple Fridays from 10 to noon in the Good News classroom over on the other side of the office. We have a men's ministry meeting this upcoming Saturday, so Wayne will be sending out his email, but if you catch him, let him know if you plan to be there or not. Continuing to do the open gym for our walking, Monday, Wednesday, Friday, 10 to 11, for anybody that wants to come be part of that. Same for prayer time on Fridays from 9 to 10 here in the sanctuary for anybody that wants to come have prayer time. Grandparents, don't forget that next Sunday is what? Grandparents Day, very good. So make sure that you get your kids and your grandkids to come celebrate at church with you. And we're excited to celebrate you for all that you do and appreciate your contributions to your family and to the church. Several other things I have going on. The ladies ministry has several different things going on. So if you have any questions about either of these, please see Linda and she'll be able to give you more details. But mentioned last week, the ladies' ministry is having a kickoff luncheon on Saturday, September 16th. That's at 11 a.m. There's a sign-up sheet in the foyer. There's going to be a guest speaker, and there's going to be food. So it's going to be a good time, ladies. Please make sure you sign up. Please make sure you invite other folks that you know, other ladies that you know that would be interested to come being part of that. And then we're having a district ladies' meeting at the Chattanooga Church. That is on October 7th. The theme is I Choose Joy. Cost is $15 each. Lunch is provided that day. The registration deadline is September 16th. See Linda if you have any questions about that too. But I'm going to be taking the van from the church, so she does need you to sign up. There's another sign-up sheet in the foyer for that so that she can know how many of you all are going to go on the van with her, because there are a limited number of seats. So don't forget about that. All right, I believe that is all I have. Thank you all for being here this morning. Appreciate your support of the church.
Stand with me this morning as you're able. And let's pray together. Before we pray, I just want to remind you of a couple of requests that you should have gotten earlier this week through one call. Jeremy Keeler is having a pretty serious surgery Tuesday morning, so let's remember him. And then Sheila Hargis is also having surgery this week, so let's remember her as well. Let's pray. Father God, we thank you so much for this opportunity to be able to come into your house and worship you. God, we've already been made aware of some needs that are represented in our family. And so, God, I pray for each of those needs. God, you know exactly what's going on with Jeremy and the surgery that he's going to be having this week, and Sheila as well. And so, God, we're well aware of the fact that you are the great physician and that you're able to move and work in ways that we could never even think or imagine. And so, God, I pray that you would do just that. God, for those who maybe didn't get the opportunity to share their needs with the congregation, I pray that you would be with each and every one of those and that you would work in each of those situations as only you can. Father, this morning, as we continue into this time of worship, I pray that you would be with us, that you would come, that you would meet with us in this place, and that we would know that we have had an encounter with you. Father, we thank you so much for everything you do for us. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. Thank you.
take my life and let it be consecrated, Lord, to Thee. Take my moments and my days, let them flow in ceaseless praise. Let them flow in ceaseless praise. Take my hands and let them move at the impulse of Thy love. Take my feet and let them be swift and beautiful for Thee. Swift and beautiful for Thee. Take my voice and let me sing, always only for my King. Take my lips and let them be filled with messages from Thee. Filled with messages from Thee. Take my will and make it Thine. It shall be no longer mine. Take my heart, it is Thine home. It shall be Thy royal throne. It shall be Thy royal
I surrender.
vacation this week, so I'm going to ask Pastor Jack if he'll come pray for us this morning.
Let us pray, shall we? Lord Jesus, we acknowledge this beautiful day. And what a day it is, oh God, we can gather together here in thy house. Thy house is called a house of prayer. And Lord, there are needs this morning around us. And Lord, we lift each and every one up to you, Lord. Knowing, oh God, your grace and your peace and your love and your healing upon us all, Lord. Father, be with those in the hospitals, be with those who are facing surgeries. Oh Lord, in all things be glorified. And Lord, I pray you be with Brother Tyler this morning. Father, speak through him. May we hear the good news. In the name of Jesus Christ, our Lord, we pray. Amen and amen.
The scripture I want us to look into this morning comes out of Exodus chapter 3. It's Exodus chapter 3, verses 7 through 14, and then the fourth chapter of Exodus, verses 1 through 3. I want us to ask a question this morning, and that question is this: what's in your hand? The scripture says this. It says, "The Lord said, I have indeed seen the misery of my people in Egypt. I've heard them crying out because of their slave drivers, and I'm concerned about their suffering. So I've come down to rescue them from the hand of the Egyptians and to bring them up out of the land into a good and spacious land, a land that's flowing with milk and honey. It's the home of the Canaanites, the Hittites, the Amorites, the Perizzites, the Hivites and the Jebusites. And now the cry of the Israelites has reached me, and I have seen the way the Egyptians are oppressing them. So now go. I am sending you to Pharaoh to bring my people, the Israelites, out of Egypt." But Moses said to God, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh? Who am I that I should bring the Israelites out of Egypt?" And God said, "I will be with you. And this will be a sign to you that it is I who have sent you. When you have brought the people out of Egypt, you will worship God on this mountain." Moses said to God, "Suppose I go to the Israelites and say to them, 'The God of your fathers has sent me to you.' And they ask me, 'Well, what's his name?' Then what should I tell them?" God said to Moses, "I am who I am. This is what you're to say to the Israelites: I am has sent me to you." God also said to Moses, "Say to the Israelites, 'The Lord, the God of your fathers, the God of Abraham, the God of Isaac, and the God of Jacob has sent me to you.'" And if you jump down to chapter 4, verses 1 through 3, it says, "Moses answered, 'What if they do not believe me and listen to me and say, The Lord did not appear to you?' Then the Lord said to him, 'What's that in your hand?' 'A staff,' he replied. And the Lord said, 'Throw it on the ground.'" Hands are interesting things. You can gain a whole lot of insight into a person's life by looking at their hands. There are soft, independent hands of newborn babies and other little ones. There are frail and wrinkled hands of the older generations. There are calloused hands of those who use their hands every day to provide for their families. There are tender hands that bring about comfort during life's hardest times. We greet each other by shaking hands. We congratulate each other by clapping our hands. We express praise by lifting our hands, and we express anger and frustration through the clenching of our hands. There's a lot of information about a person that can come through the condition of their hands. This morning, I want you to understand something. God wants to use our hands. Which brings us to a question: what is God calling us to do with our hands? This morning, I think there are three things that we can look at that are going to answer that question: what's in your hand, and what is God calling us to do with our hands? And the first thing that I notice God is calling us to do with our hands is this: God is calling us to examine our hands. When we look at the scripture we just read, we see that Moses doesn't really feel like he's been dealt all that great of a hand. He immediately starts looking at what's in front of him, and he starts making excuses. Moses starts out right out the gate, right off the bat, and he says, "Who am I that I should go to Pharaoh and bring the Israelites out of Egypt? What makes me special? What should give me any reason, what to give anybody any idea that I'm capable of doing this? What qualifies me to go stand before Pharaoh and tell him to let your people go? What Moses is ultimately doing is examining the tools that he has in front of him. He's looking at what God is calling him to do, and he's saying, I'm just a shepherd who can't even talk plainly. My strongest attribute is tending for sheep in the desert. What in the world would make you think that I should be the one that goes to Pharaoh? But here's what's interesting. God immediately shoots that down and says, I will be with you. But here's the problem. Moses doesn't exactly buy into what God is saying. He quickly snaps back and says, well, suppose I go to these Israelites and say to them that the God of your fathers has sent me to you. What do you want me to tell them when they ask me your name? What Moses is really saying is, I don't even know who you are. Why should it matter if you are with me? Why does it matter if I go in your name if I don't even know what your name is? God replies, he says, I am who I am. Just tell them I am has sent me. You know, I wonder how often in our own lives we find ourselves in a similar situation to that of Moses. God is calling us to examine our hands just like he was calling Moses. God is ultimately calling us to something that is greater than ourselves, and it may not necessarily be something that we are qualified to do. It may be a task that we don't feel equipped to tackle. You know, we make every excuse in the world to run from God's calling on our lives. I think it's probably important that we stop right here and define what we mean by calling. You know, every single Christian has been given a call on their life. That call is not just specific to Sunday school teachers or missionaries or pastors. That's a call that is a specific call that was given to every single one of us, and that call is this, to make Christ-like disciples of the nations. That's the call that we as Christians are given. You know, what he's calling us to do ultimately is examine our hands, but what he's not calling us to do is to make excuses for the state of our hands. What he's not calling us to do is say, I don't have the tools necessary to do that. I'm not smart enough to do that. I can't even talk well enough to do that. Why in the world would you call me to something like that? You know, the problem is that we fill our hands with things that are important to us. We fill our hands with things that we want to fill our hands with. We grab up the things that make us comfortable, that provide convenience. We hold on to this image of God that fits into what we want our lives to be. We're completely content tending sheep in the desert when God has something much bigger in store for us. What God is ultimately saying is, I've got a much bigger purpose in mind for you. God is calling us to examine our hands and take inventory of the things that are keeping us from following his calling on our lives. You know, I think it's time that we took a look at the things in our hands and we determine what purpose those things really serve. Are they things that bring glory to God, or are they things that bring praise to self? Are they things that fall in line with what God is calling you to do, or are they things that further your plans? You know, God is calling us to take inventory and examine our hands. But God isn't just calling us to examine our hands. He's calling us to something else. The second thing that I notice that God is calling us to is this. He's calling us to empty our hands. It's one thing to take inventory. It's a totally different thing to sell out. When we look at the first few verses of chapter 4, we see that Moses is still in this bargaining phase with God. He says, well, what if the people don't believe me? What if they don't listen to what I have to say? And God responds to Moses with a question that is absolutely earth-shattering. It's a question that cuts right to the core. God asks Moses, he said, what's in your hand? And Moses replies, a shepherd's staff. See, when God speaks to Moses, he points to something that's near and dear to him. One of the most important tools of the trade for Moses at that point in his life was his staff. As a shepherd, his livelihood was wrapped up in that staff. His protection was wrapped up in that staff. Everything that he could ever hope to be was wrapped up in that staff. Everything that Moses was, his identity of who he had become after he was expelled from Egypt, was wrapped up in that staff. God asks Moses, "What's that in your hand?" And what Moses ultimately says in reply is this: "It's who I am. It's who I hope to be. It's my protection. It's my safety net and my means of survival." What I want you to understand is what God's call to Moses is ultimately saying. What God is really saying to Moses is, I want you to take every single bit of that and I want you to throw it on the ground. God is calling Moses to empty his hands of his wants so that God can use him for something that's much greater. Now, here's what I want us to understand this morning. The same call that God extended to Moses is the same call that's being extended to us. God is asking us the exact same question. That question is, what's in your hand? And I'm afraid that we don't always answer the question that God is asking the way that we should. God, everything that I am is in my hands. My future's in my hands. My care, my comfort, my career, my safety, and my security are in my hands. God is giving us the exact same command that he gave to Moses. And that command is this: throw it on the ground. When you see law enforcement officers interacting with potential suspects, one of the first commands that they will give is, "Let me see your hands." Officers are taught from the very earliest days of their careers that a person's hands are what pose them the greatest threat. They're taught to watch the hands of the individuals they're interacting with so that they can be sure there's no imminent threat to their safety or the safety of others. Why? Because the state of a person's hands often telegraphs the intent of that person. When officers are able to see empty hands, they're able to see that a suspect doesn't have any tools with which to fight. Can I remind you this morning of the universally accepted sign of surrender? It's both hands raised high, saying, "I have no weapons for war. I have no intent to cause you any harm. I'm completely and totally subject to whatever will and plan you have for me." That's what it's all about right there. Why is that significant? Because then you're surrendering. The one you're surrendering to is able to see that you no longer pose a threat. You're giving up your right to fight. You have no weapons of war. You're saying, "I'm completely subject to whatever it is you have in store." That's where we're at. God is calling us this morning to empty our hands of the things that we hold so dear. He's calling us to complete surrender. Here's what you need to get from this. God is not looking for ability. God doesn't need your ability. What God needs is your availability. It doesn't matter how equipped you are for the task that God calls you to. Moses was the most ill-equipped human being on the face of earth to go to Pharaoh. The man had been expelled from Egypt. It would not have been wise for him to frolic back in there and say, "Hey, this guy that I talked to in a burning bush in the desert, he told me to come tell you to let all these people go." Yeah, probably not a real great plan if you really sit and think about it. Not a real good plan, but that's exactly what God called Moses to do. And he told him, he said, "It doesn't matter that you're ill-equipped. It doesn't matter that you can't talk clearly. It doesn't matter that you can't do any of this on your own, because it's not about you anyway. It's about me working through you." His call is not for us to do it in our own power. He calls us to surrender, not because he wants to control us, but because he wants to use us for his glory. God calls us to examine our hands. He calls us to empty our hands. But the third thing that God is calling us to do is this. He's calling us to experience his hand. When God calls Moses, he calls him in spite of all of his shortcomings. He calls him, in spite of the fact that he was nothing more than a nomadic shepherd who couldn't even communicate plainly. He called him in spite of the fact that he'd been thrown out of the land of Egypt. He called him in spite of all the excuses that he gave. He called him to experience the power that only God could provide. God called Moses to empty his hands of the things near and dear to him, and then God ultimately used those things to bring about glory and honor to his name. See, it was the shepherd's staff that was used to make a case before Pharaoh when it turned into a snake and consumed the snakes of all of Pharaoh's other magicians. It was the shepherd's staff that was used for the parting of the Red Sea. It was the shepherd's staff that brought water from the rock wilderness. It was the shepherd's staff that Moses carried as he led the people of Israel through the wilderness in their pursuit of a promised land. All of this was possible because Moses gave up who he was for who God wanted him to be and experienced the power of God on full display because of it. Now, I want you to understand something. The power wasn't in the shepherd's staff. The power wasn't even in the one wielding the staff. It was in the creator of the universe who made Moses a promise. And that promise was this: I will be with you. God wants the exact same thing for you. God's calling you to completely surrender so that he can use you for his glory and not for your own. But I think a lot of times we're just like Moses. We bring a lot of excuses to the table, but I want you to understand what God is saying this morning. He's saying, I don't care what your shortcomings are. I don't care about your weaknesses. I don't care how ill-equipped for the job you may feel. I want you to throw every bit on the ground and go all in on serving me. God is calling us to be a significant part of a cause that is much larger than our own problems. What we have to do is get out of the way so that he can use us the way he sees fit. He may call you outside of your comfort zone. He may call you to do something that seems outside of your skill set. He makes the same promise that he made to Moses. That promise is, it doesn't matter where you go. It doesn't matter what you do. I will go before you and I will be with you every single step of the way. That doesn't mean there's always going to be fair winds and following seas. That doesn't mean it's always going to be sunshine and smiles. That doesn't mean that we're not going to have to put in some sweat from time to time. See, God doesn't necessarily provide holes, but what he does provide is shovels and the command to go dig. In conclusion, this morning, I want to ask you a question, and that question is this. What's in your hand? What are the things that you're holding on to that you need to get rid of? What is God calling you to do that you're running from? See, I think that it all boils down to this. The content of the hands ultimately speaks a lot of times to the condition of the heart. I believe that God is calling you to important things, things that will make an impact in the grand scheme of eternity for God's kingdom, but you'll never be able to accomplish those things. You'll never be able to do anything of significance for the kingdom of God until you empty your hands. We're going to close this morning with a song. We'll just do I Surrender All again. But I want you to think about that question. What's in your hands? What is it that you're holding on to so firmly that you're saying, I can't get rid of that. I couldn't give that up. That's who I am. That's everything I hope to be. That's everything I am. That's me in a nutshell right there. That's my safety. That's my security. That's my career. I can't do that. I couldn't give that up for God. I'm telling you this morning, God is giving a very clear command, and that command is this: throw it on the ground. And when you do, God will ultimately be able to use you and potentially that thing for his glory. That's what we need to understand this morning. So we're going to stand this morning. And we're going to sing together. And if God is speaking to you, I want you to understand that there's no better place than this altar for you to do work with God. God is asking a very specific question to you this morning. And that question is this: what's in your hand? Are you going to be willing to empty your hands this morning so that God can use you? Like I just said, the condition of the hands often speaks to the content of the heart. If you're not willing to give up and let God, then that's not a hand problem, that's a heart problem. This morning, what I want you to do is take evaluation, take inventory of the things that you're holding on to. Take inventory of the things that are tripping you up. The Hebrew writer says that we have to get rid of the things that trip us up. Get rid of the sin that clings so closely to us so that we can effectively run the race that's laid out before us. And that's what I want us to understand this morning. So as we're singing this together, I want us to think about that question. What's in your hand? And are you willing to let go of it so that God can use you in a way that will be beyond anything you could ever dream or imagine? Give up everything I am and everything that I hope to be so that I can be wholly His and used for His glory. If that's not where you're at this morning, then there's no better time or place to get there. And I promise you this, you're not going to be alone. Nobody's going to judge you and think, oh, you're some sort of terrible sinner or whatever have you. And if they do, then that's a heart problem for them. This morning, I want you to know that this altar is open and you are more than welcome to come pray. And we will be happy to come pray with you. Let's sing another verse together.
All to Jesus I surrender.
Time that we've had this morning to gather in your house and worship you. God, we thank you for your word. We thank you for how your word challenges us and how it cuts us right to the core. But God, this morning I pray that you would help us to take the things that we've heard and that we would apply them in our own hearts and in our own lives. God, this morning I pray that if there's one here for whatever reason that is not fully surrendered to you, God, that they would surrender everything that they have, everything that they are, and everything that they hope to be to you. God, we're well aware of the fact that we're never going to be happy in life until we surrender to your will and your plan. God, that doesn't always mean that it's going to be a bed of roses, but what it does mean is that you're going to walk with us through the hard times and that you will be with us wherever we find ourselves, wherever we go. Be there too. God, this morning as we leave this place, I pray that you would keep us safe. Lead us, guide us, and direct us in the days to come. And for for everything you do. We'll give you praise and honor and glory for it. It's in your holy name we pray. Amen. God bless you. You're dismissed.